Again, we have many who are out or ill, probably more than talking to us today, probably have more sick at one time than we've had in a long time. So continue to remember those in your prayers. Two Guptons had the flu, and Heather's exposed to, is that right? Heather's near the flu. So keep them in your prayers as well. Again, it's good to be able to end the day as we began today. Before we begin our lesson, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this evening. We're thankful for every good and perfect gift you give us. We're thankful for the church. We're thankful for families and friends and the love that we have for one another. We see the beauty of your creation every day, and we see the evidence of your existence. We see the evidence of your power. And we know that you have made each one of us in your image. And we are special. We have a purpose. We pray that we can fulfill your will for our lives. We pray tonight as we open your word that we can have your word penetrate our hearts and minds so that we can be changed and be more like Christ. We're thankful for the mercy and grace that's found in him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's an odd title of a sermon. The problem with forgiveness. You say there's not a problem with forgiveness. Forgiveness is great. Forgiveness is what helps us, what allows us to go to heaven. Forgiveness is, how can there be a problem? How can forgiveness be a problem? Well, I think you've understood the problem with forgiveness every time you've needed to forgive somebody. It's a problem. It's difficult. It's not easy to do. And it makes us appreciate or comprehend or understand just how much forgiveness God granted when Jesus died on the cross. How much he was willing to forgive. And makes us appreciate and understand better what Jesus said on the cross. When all those people were rallied around that cross and were cheering his crucifixion. And he was able to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But it's a problem for a lot of people. This idea of forgiveness. This idea of putting things aside. Of offenses that we might have suffered at some point along the way. Which sins are the most difficult to forgive? We're going to be in Luke chapter 17 tonight. Just looking at these first five verses. I want you to think for a moment. Which sins are the most difficult to forgive? Now, I'm sure the answer to that question would be different depending on who you're talking to. We would probably have some of the same things in mind. If somebody murdered somebody you love, you'd say, well, that's probably the biggest, the most difficult one to forgive is a murder. We don't even want to mention out loud a lot of the things that we would say. You know, I couldn't forgive somebody if they ever did that to me. And whether we say it out loud or not, we sort of categorize sins, but we also categorize ones we'll forgive. And we'll forgive to a point, and then once you get over that point, then we're not forgiving anymore. And since forgiveness is such a problem, that's why the words of Christ about forgiveness are so powerful. It's like reading the Sermon on the Mount. It seems like verse after verse, it's a challenge to live up to what Jesus taught. Turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, what he said about marriage, what he said about giving, and all those types of things. Every verse is a challenge. Well, forgiveness is hard. And then we have Jesus' own words about this subject in Luke 17, beginning verse 1. He said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It is better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck or thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother repents, rebuke him. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. You probably have been in a situation where you felt the same way. When you are in a situation where you need to forgive and you know that's what you need to do. You know you have to forgive someone. And you probably think, Lord, increase my faith. I don't have a faith big enough right now to forgive this person. I'm not where I need to be in my relationship with you, where my heart is at a point of forgiveness. I think we'd all want to have a heart that was quick to forgive. Well, Jesus here is saying, if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. That was hard for them to hear. This seven number, of course, among the Hebrews is a number that meant completeness. It meant full. If he comes back to you over and over and over again, it's a similar conversation in Matthew 18 when Peter asked that question. How often should I forgive? Seven times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Well, again, we have this number seven thrown around. So Jesus is not contradicting himself. Seven times a day, and he tells Peter 70 times seven in Matthew 18. What he's saying is, he's just using an example. He's just getting them to expand their mind about forgiveness and saying, you keep forgiving over and over and over again. It's not a mathematical equation. There's no end to it. You just keep on forgiving. And in Matthew 18, he told that parable right after that about the rich man and the slave and the debts and the slave owed the master and that slave owed, or another slave owed that slave. Which sins are the most difficult to forgive? Can you ever forgive them? Were you thinking about those sins as we read Luke 17? And what Jesus said about forgiveness. If Jesus were standing in front of you and you were having a problem forgiving somebody and he said those exact same words to you face to face, would you say, yes, Lord, I will do that? Or would you say, no, it's just too hard. I can't forgive someone for that. You probably are thinking of a situation. You may be thinking of a person in your life where this would be a problem. I want us to think a few just ideas, not again my ideas, things that are here in the text in Luke 17 that I think we need to focus on and pay special attention to. And the first idea is, for every blessing you receive, you have to extend it to someone else. If you read the Bible and you notice that every time we are told to receive something, we get something from God, a good and perfect gift, we're supposed to give it. We receive money. We have jobs. We have income. And what's the Bible say? That we sow so that we can reap abundantly. We should be cheerful givers. We receive grace, so we should extend grace. Whatever we receive, we're told to give it away. And the same is true here in this passage. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus was sending out the disciples in what's called the limited commission, the commission that they were going to do while he was still on earth. And he was talking to the apostles, but it's still the same principle. He said, as you go around, freely give the things I gave to you. It says, freely you receive, therefore freely give. You got it for free. Don't make someone else pay for it. I gave it to you freely. I gave you this lesson. I gave you this thing. I gave it to you freely, so freely give it away. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul starts talking about the fundamentals of faith when he says, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus was raised on the third day, and he appeared to witnesses, and so on and so forth. But he begins that by saying, I'm going to give to you what was given to me as of first importance. And then he began listing all of those things. Also, this is what I know. Guess what? I'm going to tell it to you. It was first importance to me, and it's going to be first importance in what I teach to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. You yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. Very positive book, the book of Philippians. And Paul said here, look, you're good at giving and receiving. You were special to me. We read that in the book of Acts when he went into Philippi and on Lydia's hospitality and that first convert there and the church that was growing in that place. He said, look, you're a church that understands this concept. Well, what's this have to do with forgiveness? Well, because we receive forgiveness. And it's not to be hoarded. It's not to be stacked up in our own hearts and our own minds and our own lives and say, I'm really thankful God forgives me, but I'm not going to forgive anyone else. I'm going to keep forgiveness for myself. That's a blessing for me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. But I'm not going to forgive others. It is the opposite of what the Bible teaches concerning what we receive and what we should give. Move on to thinking about idea number two from this passage, is that in order to receive forgiveness, you must, again, forgive others. And let's focus in on this, the Lord's Prayer. Think of all the things that the Lord could have said and when he was asked to teach his disciples how to pray. Again, if you were asked that question, if someone came up to you and said, you're a Christian, teach me how to pray, what would you say were the fundamentals? Now, it's not the best test because you know the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, and you know other passages in Scripture that talk about prayer, and so you're a little bit biased. You'd probably give a good answer. But if you didn't know those passages and somebody said, well, you pray a lot, teach us to pray, what would be some things you would highlight? Jesus gave it a model, an example prayer that was just a few verses. So you think there's some important things in that short example prayer. And in that, he says, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's really the only part of that. It's interesting, the part of that model prayer includes responsibility. Personal responsibility. So many of our prayers are not about responsibility. God do this, God do that, you do it all, I'll just sit here, wait for it to happen. I have no responsibility. But in a very short example prayer, Jesus said, you need to be thinking about forgiveness and remembering that if you want to receive it, then you have to give it. We shouldn't stockpile and hoard forgiveness. It has to be extended. But forgiveness cannot be handed out arbitrarily. It cannot be handed out arbitrarily. This gets back to our first question. What are the sins that are the hardest to forgive? Or maybe the person that you think about who's the hardest to forgive. Emotions get in the way, of course, of forgiveness in those situations. But when we read this passage in Luke 17, and Jesus is not specific as far as the sins that are committed. He just simply says, if he sins against you seven times a day, return seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. We read that passage, and I'm afraid many times, impose a very mild sinning that's going on. We put that in the verse. We read that and think, well, yeah, if there was a mild kind of white lie, not a big deal kind of thing. That's probably what Jesus is talking about. I think you may not see it that way. It may not apply to you. It may not be how you read that passage. But I think a lot of us do. I think it's easy to read it that way because he's not specific. He doesn't give it, you know, this type of sin and that type of sin. But think about grievous sins. Think about things that really do hurt. They would all fit in that verse. Sin is sin. There's a bit of a discussion, I think an interesting discussion, about what Jesus says here. In terms of, is Jesus saying they're committing the same sin seven times a day, or they're committing seven different sins in the given day? It really makes no difference. Either way, you're being hurt over and over and over again. And we can't say, well, this passage is good for the mild, simple, easy sins. But you know, he's just, I don't have to forgive for this over here. That passage doesn't cover what this person did or said, whatever the case may be. Again, if we want to do things the way Jesus did things, if we want to use Jesus as our example, Jesus was wanting God to forgive people who were killing him. And I suppose that none of us have ever been in that difficult of a situation. And then finally, the fourth idea from this, fourth thing to look at in this passage, is that forgiveness should happen on a continual basis. It's not something we ever stop doing. You know, people say, I gave at the office. You know, somebody comes and asks for something, you say, oh, I gave earlier, I've already given. We shouldn't have that attitude about forgiveness. We shouldn't say, I forgave earlier. I was the nice guy that last time, but I'm not doing that anymore. I was generous and gracious to that person last time, or I'm giving up on forgiveness. I'm not going to live that way anymore. We see here Jesus in two passages, Luke 17 and Matthew 18, emphasizing, again, not a mathematical equation, emphasizing that forgiveness has to happen over and over and over again. Because doesn't it also fit the golden rule? You want to be forgiven over and over and over again, not just by God, but by everybody you know. Because we all fail. We're all embarrassed. We all do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, go to the wrong places, whatever the case may be. And we get caught doing that. What do you want everybody else around you to do? You want forgiveness. And you don't just want it once. You want it the next time, the time after that. That's always what you're going to want. And Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A few steps to get us to a disposition of forgiveness, very briefly. First of all, you have to take a breath. The opposite of that would be to react instantly. A lot of times when we're hurt, we have an initial reaction of anger. We have an initial reaction of our breath being taken away. We have resentment, which eventually can lead to bitterness. Sometimes you have to take a breath. You've heard me mention before about that phrase, put it in the drawer. When Harry Truman was offended once, he said, as a habit, he would write a letter. We don't write letters so much anymore, handwrite letters. And in those days, you'd handwrite a letter, and he would write it, his reaction to the situation, and then he would put it in the drawer. He wouldn't send it. He never sent it immediately. And if 3 or 4 days go by and he still felt like that needed to be said and addressed, he'd mail the letter. He said, more often than not, a few days go by and you look at it and read it again and say, you know what, that's not worth dealing with. I'm going to let that go. There's no more to say. just need to take a breath. And I think once we get to that point, it becomes a little bit easier to forgive. What did James say in that little book? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. You can be slow in the second and third thing if you're first quick to hear. You're not quick to hear, you're not going to be slow in the next two things. And second of all, count your blessings. The opposite of counting your blessings be to be bitter and act like nothing good has ever happened to you. Everybody else has got it. Everybody else takes advantage of you. Everybody else has things. But when you know what your blessings are, you know that you don't need to hold on to that resentment. You don't need to hold on to that bitterness. We think about the blessing of forgiveness that we receive from God. If we just kept thinking about that all the time, of how much God has forgiven us, that alone should motivate you to be more forgiving and have that forgiving heart. And then the third step in some things to think about and being more of a forgiving person is to repair the relationship. The opposite of that, of course, would be resentment. I just resent that person, stay away from them, never talk to them again. I will hold this fault over their head the rest of their lives. In Matthew 18, right before, in the same context as what Jesus said about forgiving someone 70 times 7, in the previous three verses, he had just talked about going to someone in private when you have an issue with them. If that doesn't work, you take a witness. If that doesn't work, you take it to the church. And then he talked about forgiveness. Right after. No break. Same discussion. Even when you recognize and notice a sin, you address it. So what Jesus said here, if your brother sins, rebuke him. He didn't skip that part. Matthew 18, same concept. He says, somebody sins against you, go to them, you address it. But then after that, just like here, in Matthew 18, he says, well, how often do you forgive? Well, you forgive over and over and over again. There cannot be a repaired relationship without forgiveness. And we know in the book of Romans, Paul said, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. You can control you. What you say, how you say it, and if that's going to go a long way to repairing a situation. The definition of forgiveness, we did this the opposite way. We did the one word series. We always looked at the definition first. Well, let's look at it here at the end. To give up resentment against or the desire to punish, to cancel a debt. To give up resentment against or the desire to punish. When you say, I want to hurt that person, and then you stop saying that, thinking that. Forgiveness. I hope somebody else hurts that person. I hope something bad happens to them, and all of a sudden you stop wanting that person to be punished. Instead, you want what's good for them. You want good things to happen for them. When you stop saying, you owe me. You did this over here to me. Now you owe me. What's the definition here? To cancel a debt. You start thinking, you don't owe me anymore. You're letting go of the resentment. You're letting go of the debt. You're saying we are past that. There's a great problem with forgiveness for a lot of people. Because it doesn't let us indulge our fleshly desire. to get even, get back, to get revenge. But it is necessary for us to be forgiven and go to heaven. It's necessary for us to forgive one another. Jesus said that, made it a very fundamental part of the gospel. And so if you need the forgiveness of the Lord by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do that this evening. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need prayers tonight, if there's something on your mind, on your heart that needs to be shared, expressed, you just need to say, pray for me. We'd love to do that tonight as well. Whatever it is, come while we stand and sing together.